We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast, and we are back this week reviewing the film of three, I think, likely first round picks in the NBA draft here in under a month. Precious Achiuwa from the University of Memphis, Josh Green, and Sadiq Bey is who we'll get into. Will DeBerg has been with me on all these draft podcasts. He's the assistant men's basketball coach at the University of St. Thomas here in St. Paul. And Will, we've got to talk about your boy. That's where we got. Not any of those guys. You are like I feel like you're the Timberwolves world captain of the Devin Vassell train here. And he's what was that? What happened? What was that shot?
I don't know. It was funny because that day I probably got like, I'm not even kidding, close to 10 different texts and tweets from people like, what is that? Like, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I've not, like, I know as much as you do.
Come on, Will.
Like, but I don't know, man. It's obviously the shot looked terrible.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, yeah. It's such a small clip. I'm still, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's
good. You didn't take him out of your lottery?
If that's his new shot, he's in trouble. Who knows?
It's not his new shot. There's no way. First of all, if people don't know what we're talking about, I'm assuming it was Devin Vassell's agent or trainer or something put out this video of him taking some deep NBA threes, but probably a little deeper than the NBA three-point line, right? And his shot just looked completely funky over the top of his head, like
I think it was
slingshot.
It was somebody outside of his like party. It okay. wasn't somebody who was, because they...
Just then, somebody who was in the gym.
Yeah, a reporter, a writer.
Those damn writers. Anyway, it did look, I think, at the end of the day, I think he was just joking around at the end of a thing and did some weird,
hopefully.
Deep, yeah, the one thing, actual basketball-wise, I thought of with it is, you know, in college, he was obviously a very good three-point shooter.
With a really good-looking shot.
Yeah, kind of, I mean... I don't know, but not like your traditional good-looking shot. Like, it was a little, like, in front of his face, up high. He has a really high release.
Yeah.
Normally, it's normal, which isn't, like, a bad thing.
Right.
But I wouldn't think you'd be like, Klay Thompson and Devin Vassell, like, take your pick on stroke. Like, it's kind of funky, but he's a good shooter. And what I thought of, though, is, okay, so now he's taken these from 27 feet in the clip. And this is stupid to analyze a clip. But, like... Should there be any concerns for a guy who's kind of like slender like that, or just with any player in general, taking that extra couple feet back, you know, from the college line to the three-point line? And because you do need to have put more power in your shot, right, to shoot it further. Like,
right.
Is he the type of – is that a thing? Like, I think in the adjustment from the college to the NBA?
I think it all depends on the player. Like, I don't know. For me, like, I'm nowhere near the athlete he is, nowhere near as strong as he is, and I can, like, I have no issues stepping back. Like, for me, it's the same shot. It's everything. You shoot a little bit harder, but it's the same thing. Some guys, I think it's way a big adjustment, and it just depends on mechanics. It depends on feel. It depends on, I don't know. It's different for everyone.
And this is maybe just a way, I'm not very high on Tyrese Halliburton, so maybe this is just a way for me to rip up. I don't know. I just started thinking about this, and like, Halliburton has this funky, actually funky mechanics. Like, to start, we know he shot hundreds of three-pointers in college, and every one of them looked funky. And I guess I would question a little bit, if a player already had weird mechanics at the college level, and they're shooting from that distance, moving back the 3 feet or whatever, I don't know. I think somebody can run the numbers on all this, but I don't know how you decide who has funky mechanics or not.
Right.
But that would make a little bit of sense to me. And I do think that Devin Vassell kind of falls in the funky mechanics. And he's this thin, skinny sort of dude, too, where I don't know. This is way overanalyzing it. But
right.
I do think that's a thing.
Yeah, and I think this is where you and I will disagree on if he has funky mechanics.
Okay.
Like, I think his shot is good.
I've watched the Twitter clip too many times. That's probably.
No, I'm saying like his normal funky mechanics. Like,
yeah.
Or his normal mechanics, I guess. My worry is, like, I kept thinking back to like Markelle Fultz and like how his shot, like, you watch his shot
just evolved.
And so my fear, and again, it was Devin Vassell took two shots in an empty gym. Like, who knows? Unless you're close with Devin Vassell or like watching him work out, like, you don't really know, so you can speculate all you want. My one worry, if I'm going to be pessimistic, is like somebody was like, you got to tweak it a little bit, and so he started trying something a little bit new, and it evolved into this.
And that tweak, I mean, to my point is that the tweak, they would say, hey, you're shooting right in front of your face, you're blocking your view to the rim. That,
but he didn't shoot in front of his face. He shot it. He's up high. Like,
okay. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I felt like I went and went back after watching that, went and looked at some of them. I mean, are you pulling up now?
He's always shot it above his head.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not blocking his face.
I don't know.
Do you disagree?
I feel like kind of blocking his face to like an extent. He's not like shooting the ball right in front of his face. I know this is stupid. I don't want to be on the side of, I think his mechanics are totally messed up now. But I think that is something where to say that someone got in his head and be like, you got to do it a little bit different. You're looking at your screen. What do you see?
Well, I'm just pulling up a video of a shot so I can put a screenshot. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is like nobody, like we're going to, like if you think that's his new shot and somebody else thinks he's screwing around, like we don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the hundreds of shots he took in college totally. Over the two shots.
And Vassell shot 42% both years at Florida State, freshman year and sophomore year. He's a good shooter. It shouldn't factor into it that much. I did think though about the idea for him and for all these guys that it is an extra 3 feet. And I don't know, for some players, particularly those with a little bit of bizarre mechanics, whether he falls in that bin or not.
Right.
I don't know. It's something to think about. And quite frankly, if I was in a front office right now, I would be like, all right.
I mean, the ball is way above his head when he shoots.
Yeah. But his arm though.
Oh, you're saying his arm blocks his
face.
Oh, I thought you meant the ball. Okay. So, all right.
No, the ball's for sure above his
head. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I this is stupid. I think Devin Vassell's shot is going to be fine. The grade I had on him and watching wasn't as high as you on him as a player overall, but I was like, this dude's going to be a player you're very confident with being catch and shoot, 3-point shooter, and a guy that we both think is going to be able to shoot off the dribble.
Right. If it's his new shot, whoever told him to do that should retire. I don't know.
It would be crazy.
It's, yeah. Some of the Twitter memes out there were.
So funny.
If you haven't seen it,
it's still up on Twitter. But that's the thing too. Like, they got him to take down the initial video, but once it's on the internet,
and
everything
like lives. There's that one reporter that was like, I got word that they were messing around. It did not look like they were messing around in that workout. That's the scary thing to me. Like, it looked like they were going hard or full speed or whatever. But I don't know. It's not. I need to see more than two shots. Hey, Andy made both the shots. I need to see more than two shots before I Obviously, anyone who's listened to these drafts know that I think he's the best player in the draft. I'm going to stand by that until...
Yeah.
Until...
Shown otherwise.
Shown otherwise. And if I see another video like that, I have to do an emergency pod.
Yeah. For these podcasts, we don't specifically focus on any of these players as Timberwolves prospects at all. Will and I just watched the film that we had available to us through Synergy of these three athletes. And so we're just going to kind of run through what we saw and how we think these what ways these players will translate to the NBA and in which ways we have question marks about them translating. So, Will, the guy I want to start with is Precious Achiuwa. He's a freshman at Memphis. I already said that. He's kind of old for a freshman. Yeah. He turns 21 in September. I thought that was interesting because I thought his game overall felt young.
Right.
New to the game. I think
his passing felt pretty young.
Pretty young. He is he like I think like Pascal Siakam and some other guys who I think from Africa, you know, just kind of get to the game at a later age. I thought we saw some of that. But he is 21 years old, and I would have rather, you know, for any of these guys, you'd rather they be 19, right? That's what you'd hope for all of them. But Precious Achiuwa is 6'9" in shoes, 7'2" wingspan, 225 pounds. These are a list of a few other guys who were that size when they came into the league who are now in the NBA or were in the NBA. Tristan Thompson, Draymond Green, Quincy Acey, Jamichael Green, Larry Nance, Kevin Looney, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Jordan Bell, PJ Washington, and Kata Bates Diop. And those guys are all within about an inch in height, an inch in wingspan, and 5 or so pounds either way to Precious, who again is 6'9", 7'2", 225. So I think that is an important element to focus on here, his size combined with his athleticism we get into. What are you hoping a player of that size and that physical profile he has becomes in the NBA?
Well, it's funny because I think watching his tape, he looks like he's like 6'11", and
he looks huge. He looks huge.
So, and then you start naming those guys, and like Siakam, I think, is like a 3, and Kata Bates Diop is a 3.
Yeah, that was a weird one. Yeah,
and these other guys, I'm like, okay, he plays nothing like those guys. Like, he's a center.
100%. But that's why I like doing this. Like,
for sure. And that's you're big into the size thing more so than I am. But hearing that is concerning. It's right. It's a red flag, right? Would you like?
Yeah.
Because you agree he's a center.
Yes. Yes. Or I think. Well, we can get into that some. I'm not going to only say 5. No.
Okay.
I would say 4 or 5, and I would say. If he was a 4, I think there's specific 5s he would be better playing with, or that would, you know, help him. And, you know, in other ways, it'd be good to just let him go. Like, it's this freak athlete. Like, have your team play fast as hell. Like, Precious Achiuwa is a freak athlete who, if he does iron out the issues he showed at Memphis, you know, I mean, you got an athlete at the center position. So, yeah, I mean.
6'9 is not. Like, to me, that's concerning a little bit.
Yeah. The interesting one for me was Jordan Bell, just because he's somebody like, you know, I watch him play up close in person, and, you know, when you literally stand by these guys in the locker room and stuff, and I was like, oh, my God, Jordan Bell is so small, was always my opinion on him. I'm like, I cannot believe this guy was, like, a center in the NBA Finals
right.
a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. And... But the reality of the situation is Jordan Bell was a center in the NBA, and he played this type of role, which is your freaky athlete guy who is not a main cog in your offense when he's out there with the other guys. And I do think it can be fine that your guy is that small, provided your team has found a way to defend the interior effectively. Mm-hmm. Whether that guy is a rim defender himself or he synergizes well with another guy who's a rim defender. That's my concern about having a small 5, is if you just have him out here and he's your only rim
so
defender.
What are a few things that you liked about him, like you watching it, like take the good from the film?
I mean he's so fast and is great in space. I think he's I think he's someone who you could, I mean, there's the obvious things of he would be able to get out and run in transition as a five. He's very, I think he has the ability to develop into someone who is athletic enough to take people off, like, off of closeouts when they're like, if he's getting closed out on, take people off the dribble. He needs to work on his dribbling there. But you have this profile of a guy who, if he does develop some of the basketball skill sets, you go, well, we're pretty much like 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 as far as speed, strength, agility, body control, those sort of things go. He gets a little chaotic at times, but to me, those chaotic things are like not reading the game. Not that he doesn't have control of his body. Like,
right.
He does have good control of his body, yeah. In my opinion.
I agree with that. The other thing I liked about him, he's obviously an incredible athlete. You watched 1 minute and you figure that out. He also, he played really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
really
he
hard.
He played really hard.
Didn't get tired.
And it just struck me as a guy who, like, he really cared. Mm-hmm. Every rebound he'd go after. Yeah, offense, defensive rebound. He just, like, it's hard to, I guess, put this into words after having watched a fair amount of film, but he just didn't take a play off, didn't take a possession off. He just was always around the ball, always, I don't know, he was really intense.
And those, some of those things like sound kind of cliche,
but for a freshman who's a highly ranked freshman who's a first round pick, mm-hmm. it's easy for a guy like that to know that about himself and just kind of coast a little bit. And he never coasted.
No. And I think that, you know, back to the size thing, like if you are a little bit smaller, like you're going to need to work, like mm-hmm. you're going to get a scrap on the interior. Like you're going to need to beat your guy to the spot for the rebound. You're going to need to be quicker than them to, like, there's an element of when you do put elite level hustle with elite level athleticism where you could go, all right, like you can play. Like, I think like just with that, like That's all you need to be
relevant. That's yes. all you need.
And then with him, and I think this is where it gets really gray, is now what can you give me outside of that? Cause I think we know that, like,
and that's where I struggle with him.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair. And I'll just say, like, there's a part of me where I just watch this kid and I go, he just hasn't played enough basketball yet.
Right.
And to that end, I go, I don't know, man. Could he be somebody who develops into being a perimeter hub? Because now, once you get beyond just being the guy who sets screens and rolls to the rim and gets lobs and gets offensive rebounds or lives in the dunker spot like that, he's going to probably mm-hmm. be able to do that, at least in a bench role in the NBA. But can you be more than that? Can you catch the ball on the perimeter and either be a dribble handoff guy, like be able to read, dribble handoff guy? Can you square up? Can you shoot it if you're open? And if they're closing out on you, can you make one move and get to the bucket? Like mm-hmm. that's the difference between being Jordan Bell and being Bam Adebayo.
Right. And it's funny you say that, because my favorite thing about him is what I just said. My least favorite thing about him is his decision making. I thought it was terrible. And maybe it's a lack of, he hasn't played that much basketball, but he had 30 assists and 87 turnovers.
Right.
You couldn't try to do that in a game. For
so where do you think a lot of the turnovers came from?
He would catch the ball and he would make up his mind, this is what I'm going to do, before mm-hmm. like looking at the defense and reading the defense. He would just catch it, put his head down, go, and then he'd pick his head up and he'd either travel, mm-hmm. he'd either just guess on a pass, or somebody would come over and help and just take the ball from him.
Some charges, like a lot of charges, Euro travels, yeah.
Just like things where it's like, slow down. You're right. Fine. Slow down.
What about defensively?
I think it's funny because he makes some plays. He makes some blocks where it's like he gets away with it from his athleticism. He actually reminded me, and again, you watch way more Cat and Timberwolves than I do, but a lot of plays where he would like overhelp or try to do too much and make a spectacular play.
Sure.
Didn't work out. He would be out of position and then, you know, leads to a bucket for the other. But he's clearly got the potential. Between his athleticism, he cares, right. and he's got a great motor. Those three things are, I forget who, we talked about another prospect like that where it was those three things, and we're like, I don't know how much else you need. Like those.
Okongwu?
maybe. But I don't know.
I want to talk about him.
He made some really good plays, some really bad plays.
Yeah. I think people like him as a defender.
In a nutshell, I like him as a defender.
I think people are going to think of this player, and we've described him as super fast, super, like athletic, laterally he is too. And you're going to assume that he is, in a best case scenario, the guy who, you know, it's that defensive unlocker, like whatever. You bring a screen, we're switching it, and we don't lose a step. And one, I don't think, it didn't happen in college. That didn't happen in college. They hedged and recovered all the time. You didn't get to see him really get out there onto a guard and just like, all right, this is our coverage here. So that's different than Onyeka Okongwu, right, who we watched, and they would like intentionally switch it sometimes. So with Achua, if you're banking on that, if you want to do the BAM thing and be like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, okay, well, we haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him do those sort of things. This is an in theory thing. And then also we're going, okay, this is freak athlete. You watch him dunk a couple times. He flies.
Right.
This and that. Like, yes, were there a couple highlight blocks? Sure. But in general, I saw him more to be like a shot deterrer than a shot blocker. And sometimes that's almost a better thing.
Yeah.
But they're different things. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And so it's why, which is kind of weird because I feel like all these other dudes we've gone through, like I've been like Obi Toppin. I think you got to have him play the five. I even brought up Patrick Williams. I was like, maybe right away at the beginning, you have Patrick Williams to be a bench five. Like, I feel like I always slide up in that sort of way. But
see, I think you and I disagree on pressure. I think he has to be a five.
Okay, but let me. This is my reason. Okay. Is because I think that if you have him with another five who is a shot blocker, and you let him do more of the scrambling around things, you develop him into the switchable defender. I think that fits better at the four. And they both could work, but I just kept, as I'm watching these defensive clips, and he played a lot of four at Memphis. They had that the really tall Bryant guy who I guess was like the Wiseman replacement.
Right.
And I don't know. He seemed comfortable enough to me there. It's always easy to slide up to the five. Do you think he can't play the four? Or why can't he play the four? Because he can't shoot?
Yeah, and his playmaking is terrible.
Yeah.
On offense, he's got to be a pick and roll, dunk, everything, offense, rebound.
Right.
You don't want the ball in his hands on offense. You want him catching it, dunking it.
Sure. But he could play the four if the five is a really good rim defender and is
A good shooter
and a good passer.
Yeah. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't bank on that.
And there aren't many of those,
right?
But like,
and I didn't think he was. I mean, he can grow into this. I didn't think he was a great perimeter defender.
I don't think so either.
So that's where he's going to be guarding if he's playing the four. Mm-hmm. You know. So I think. I guess my point is, I think he's better as a five on offense, and I think he's better as a five on defense.
Right?
Can he do the four on either end? Maybe, but I'm going to bet on. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. I think that's a safer bet. I guess I just wanted to bring that up because it was on my mind.
Yeah, no, that's
when I was watching it. But probably for all these dudes, it's like, all right, you're gonna come in, you're gonna be a late lottery pick on some team or just out of the lottery. Like, you're probably not starting right away, so you're in a second unit. Like, and what do second units generally want to do? Like,
right,
they just want to out athleticize you. Is that a word? Like, run, you know? And,
yeah,
and energy,
and that's like where he energy that's fight. His biggest strength is just flying up and down the court. You know, plays 6 minutes where he grabs a few offensive rebounds, gets a couple putbacks, you know, does some things on defense. And that's where he's valuable.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
That's it right now.
Right.
I just think, like, if you look around, I think, like, ESPN has him 10. Like, if you're drafting him at 10, you're saying, okay, we know we have that right now, but we believe there could be something
for sure
more here. And I think there's something more from him.
What does that look like? What is a 10th overall pick?
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, you are not, you can be the four, you can be the hub on the outside there. Like,
but I'm saying what needs to actually happen for him to get.
He needs to, offensively, he needs to be somebody who can attack closeouts, which step one of that is becoming a threat from three. But it's not just being able to, like.
Did you like his shot?
No, but it's like.
Did you hate his shot?
I did not hate his shot.
I didn't hate it either.
No. I think it's like steps ahead of Onyeka Okongwu, who I would assume is never going to shoot threes at all. Like, I think Precious Achiuwa will shoot threes in the NBA.
I do too.
And so if he can first be that, can you be just this catch and shoot guy who's taking wide open top of the key threes? Yes, if you can do that, then now, like, can we put you above the break? And can you take a guy off the dribble? You have the athleticism, maybe a little bit of handle to be able to do it. We got to work on the decision making. If you have that, and you can be a DHO guy, now you're worth it. Those are a lot of things. I see you like shaking your head, but like that's
a lot to ask for a guy with 30 assists and 90 turnovers.
Though. Totally fair. I'm not making the case. I'm not saying this is Bam Adebayo, but I think for these guys, like again,
I think if it works, it's not Bam. It's more of like Montrezl Harrell.
Sure,
A guy who just super intense, dunks everything, pick and roll, and is good on defense.
But that's by it. You saying that, you're saying that you don't believe anything else can develop, or is unlikely.
I don't think
to
anything
develop.
Off the dribble is going to develop. Yeah. I think he could be like pick a NBA guy, but yeah, I think if he's wide open, he'll shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he shot a couple like step back threes, but it's also
he shot 40 overall for the year and 20 in their last 10 games.
Yeah.
So I think it was.
But I also it struck me as like when Wiseman went down, it was kind of Precious's team. Do whatever you want. You're going to be here for 6 months.
Totally.
That team did not. They were talented. Did not strike me as a well coached team.
Why will Onyeka Okongwu be way higher than Achiuwa on your big board?
Good question. I mean, I think Okongwu is maybe the best defender in the draft.
Over Wiseman? I mean, how can we know with
Wiseman? We watched Wiseman play 70 minutes. So, yeah, I think Okongwu maybe is the best defender in the draft.
Okay.
And then offensively, I think they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, one's going to go 7th, one's going to go 17th. So, it's not like there's a huge gap. So, I think Okongwu can switch 1 through 5 really well. He proved that at USC. And I think offensively he's capable. We're kind of – everything we're saying about Precious is similar to what we said about Okongwu.
The difference is
– Who would you take? You take Okongwu?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I would take Okongwu.
Why?
I'm just – I thought about this a little bit, like that comparison there. And to make a bit of a case against Okongwu, like – so Okongwu's number – like Okongwu and Toppin, their numbers – stats-wise, efficiency-wise, are way better than Precious Achiuwa.
Right.
Like, and that's a big reason, you know, as it should be, a big reason why they are higher on all these mocks than he is. But a big thing for the Okongwu specifically that drove his efficiency was he posted up all the time.
Yeah.
Are you gonna be able to? Is he gonna, like? Can you post up at all in the NBA? Is Okongwu gonna be able to post up at all in the NBA? How is he gonna use that skill set? Because I think there's elements to being a post-up player that you can like kind of reproduce in the dunker spot, whatever. But like, what if that just isn't a thing? Like, what if he doesn't have that? That's where so much of Okongwu's offense came from, and we know he has no shot except for that 180-footer he hit. and I don't know. And Okongwu didn't pass the ball at all either. So there's a world I could see where Achiuwa 3 years from now has developed a more well-rounded offensive skill set than Okongwu. That isn't to say that he's going to be the defender that he is.
Right. I also think Okongwu is better off the dribble. Like if we brought up Bam, and I feel like everyone brings up Bam now because of the recency bias, but Okongwu, the way he can like do a DHO or fake a DHO and then take
a
couple dribbles.
He's good at like just one dribble. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did not see that out of Precious at all.
Mm-hmm.
I keep calling him Precious because I screw up his last name. Precious.
No, I think.
Do you agree with that though? Like, I just think watching Okongwu was like, he played the four, what percent of do you think Okongwu played the four? 80%.
Yeah, because the big white dude was there.
So he played more four than Precious did, although Precious did play four too. But I just think Okongwu, that is way more comfortable with the ball in his hands, making reads, taking a dribble or two, and passing.
Yeah,
and I think that matters when you're because these guys are going to be probably drafted, or Precious is probably going to be drafted to a playoff team. More so, he's going to have guys around him where I don't know. He's not going to be asked to make plays, and so if he can't pass the ball to the better players on his team, he's kind of worthless on offense.
And you're totally fair to say that didn't show up at all on the film.
Right,
it didn't. You're right. Like, but this is kind of like a Tyrese Maxey thing, where we talked about this before the other time with like Arjun Hampton, where part of me goes, I feel like when I watch Achua play 2 years from now, it's going to be so different than what it was right now. And yeah. I feel that with Arjun Hampton. I feel that with Tyrese Maxey. And like, is part of that very generally they're athletic? Sure. But I think actually we talked about that this last time after we turned the mics off, and I was like, man, there's something about Arjun Hampton.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I hate when people go, oh, it's my gut call. But there's
something
about it. When you watch a lot of somebody, you go like, and I have some of that with Precious. Am I going to go up to 10 or something on that? No. But for me, and I'm thinking about this through the Wolves lens, which we were talking about before.
Right.
To me, it makes a ton of sense there, because what do they have in Cat? You do have somebody who can block shots, and you do have an offensive hub. Like, that is where I could see that 2 years from now being a really good fit there. Maybe there aren't a lot of teams. I think he's going to have to go to a player development, a place that's going to develop him effectively. And I think the pieces around him are going to be really important too.
For sure.
Because if he gets into a place which is like Memphis, and they're like, here, go take a bunch of shots, go pass, he's going to have a million turnovers.
Yeah.
And we're going to look up his real plus-minus. It's going to be minus a million. Like,
he... And this is, you could say this about a lot of people, he needs a good point guard. If he has a good point guard,
100%,
he could be really good. If he doesn't, and he can, I don't know. So you would want the Wolves at 17.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say, I don't know, like, whatever. Well, depends who the other ones are there. I don't have it all charted out down to there, but kept thinking about that.
We'll get to the other two guys, but let's say they're all three of them are there. Who would you take?
Josh, I kind of like these other two guys.
Yeah.
So, and I feel more of a need on the wing. I think there's more scarcity on the wing.
For sure.
I think I would take Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, I would too.
Over both of these guys. But we don't. Once you start talking about 17, like we don't know what's going to be there.
Part of me also thinks that there might be a lot of guys like Precious out there. Like,
that's fair. Totally.
Like if he doesn't develop, let's say he's not a reliable shooter and he's not a reliable playmaker. There's a lot of guys. 6'10", 6'9", dudes who run around and can offense rebound. Like
100%.
So that's where I'm kind of like, well, if we don't get him, we can sign.
All I would say to that too is like, all right, like have that same energy about a Okongwu too.
Right.
That's the same thing. Like more skilled, but like at the end of the day, a Okongwu's not massive. Like a Okongwu's kind of like that too. Like,
and you're making it sound like I think a Okongwu's going to be an all-star.
No.
I think.
Some people do. You're right. That isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually both like, I think we have them like 11 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a really interesting and difficult archetype of player to analyze.
Yeah.
And I think really, if I'm a GM, I would want to know a ton about the guy's background and how much I believe they can commit to player development in these specific ways. Because I think, particularly with Precious, you got to go, all right, man, here's like one thing. Mm-hmm. Do this. Next month, maybe two things. But if we didn't get the first one, not like it's gonna be a slow drip for him. Let's move on though.
And last thing, and we've like I'm also it kind of comes back to the fact that guys who can't shoot, I'm instantly turned off by right now. It's just like I don't know how else to like it sounds really simple, but find me a guy who can shoot, and then you know, like we'll figure out.
I think the next two can.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll do Josh Green next, freshman Arizona. Turns 20 in November. He was number 8 on ESPN's top 100 for this class, or coming out of high school. He's 6'6" in shoes, 6'10" wingspan, 210 pounds. Here's some players who are that size. Keldon Johnson from last year's draft, Kevin Porter Jr., Troy Brown Jr., Gary Trent Jr., DeAndre Bembry, Denzel Valentine, Glenn Robinson III, Klay Thompson, DeMar DeRozan, Danny Green, and Terrence Williams. Why don't you just give people the basics of who he is? You want to do one side of the ball? You just want to say who he is as an offensive player?
Yeah, I think it's funny you mentioned Danny Green. We've talked about this on a lot of the podcasts.
It totally works.
It's the same player. I don't know how else to put it, and maybe we can just stop talking about him here. It's the same player.
Down to weird foot stuff.
Weird foot stuff, same last name, like every – like. And it was frustrating to watch because to me it was like I think Arizona should have used him way more. He shot 2 point, I think, 7 threes a game. I think he should have shot 8 threes a game.
Easy.
And his threes were like, I'm going to stand in the corner.
They prioritized Nico Mannion over
him. Yeah, and it was frustrating to watch because I was like, I want him to go 0 for 12 one game. But it was like everything was like 3 for 8, 6 for 11. Like,
but he's got a little bit of that Danny Green too where I don't think he like turns up that much.
No.
Where he goes and
he's Danny Green. I mean, that's he's Danny Green, which is maybe we're
– Okay, why – so I was kind of thinking that, and I was looking for reasons to say he's – could be more than Danny Green.
I couldn't find on him any of them.
Well, okay, well then why was he the number 8 prospect if he was this? Like,
think about a high school kid who is 6'6",
flying,
really athletic, and can stroke it
and defend.
You just watch him in a high school game; it's easy.
So, okay,
Danny Green was probably ranked. What was Danny Green ranked in his high school class?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's right. Can he do nothing else offensively?
Nothing.
Outside of shoot the three?
I don't think so.
You didn't think so?
No. Nope.
Nothing at all? Nope. Okay. I think there was a little bit of a, like, so they played zone. They faced a bunch of teams who played zone.
Yeah.
Which made, I thought, analyzing him hard. Because he's just in the corner all the time. And a lot of times, whatever, that's easy. It's just like, if you got the ball, stroke it. Like, but sometimes I liked a little bit of when he would take the guy, like he read the right time, the time to shoot that and the time to attack there. And he is athletic enough to like get up towards the rim and finish a little bit. Like he's athletic. He's not really like dunking on people at all. But I thought there was a little bit like pump and go attacking a closeout to him. You don't think so?
I mean, I think he did it in college.
It
looked awkward. It looked uncomfortable.
That's a good point.
I think in the NBA, and there's nothing wrong with this, I think he's going to be strictly a catch-and-shoot, space-the-floor guy, and a guy who's actually going to be pretty solid on defense, I think.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, and shit.
And I think he'll be really good. He'll be really good at both those things. And he's one of the guys that I don't think it's overly complicated. You know what I mean?
There's no element to you at all that thinks, all right, he's playing in Arizona to have other top prospects, namely Mannion and Najee, who...
Right. It's important for people, like he played with two other...
This Arizona team, it wasn't end up being very successful, but as far as like prospects go, the guys they brought in, there was like it was kind of like a Kentucky team.
Yeah.
Would you say that's fair?
3 first-round picks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, to an extent, or 90% of it. Part of me was thinking to along those lines, and how we've talked about this before with Kentucky guys, where things get hidden with players. And I don't know. I can't say what the thing would be that is hidden. I don't know. He ran, like, 20 total pick-and-rolls the whole year, like, right. Nothing. Like, he literally was a catch-and-shoot guy in spot-up situations and kind of took people off the dribble and took some floaters. I would like to have seen him go to a different college and play on a different team where he would have done different things because, like, I bet you would agree with it, like, his film got boring.
Really
same
boring.
Shit over and over again. And at least on the offensive end. Did you see him to be a pretty good defender?
Yeah, I thought he was solid. I didn't think he was great. I thought he's got good size. He competed pretty hard, and like he made mistakes. He's 19 years old. Again, this freshman we talk about, it's kind of the same thing. Guys who have probably never really been asked to defend at a high level in their entire lives.
I kind of liked him a lot as a defender.
Okay, I thought you were
no.
No, I think he's going to be a solid defender. Is Danny Green a good defender in the NBA? He is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I think that's what he is. I think everyone, it's like the cliche thing to say 3-and-D. It's like everyone wants a 3-and-D wing. I think he epitomizes it more so than probably anybody else in this draft.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
At 17, when in a bad draft, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, and that's not where he's being mocked right now. He's being mocked like late first.
Well, the Ringer had, I think, 24 maybe.
Yeah, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think it was like 22 of the Athletic. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's not even in like the lottery conversation.
Who'd you take, him or Neesmith?
I would take Neesmith.
Yeah. Just because his offense is that much better.
The comparison I wanted to make, and this is, I think it's kind of similar to what we were just talking about with Achiuwa and Okongwu, where Okongwu just like objectively had a way better freshman year of college. Like he was one of the better players, whereas Achiuwa was he was just like a prospect. And I think with Green, I think that works with Green and Isaac Okoro too.
Yeah.
Where Okoro was just super good, like at college basketball. Now there's concerns about him as a 3-point shooter, but like he was a brick wall defensively and I thought was able to get the rim pretty well. Like Okoro was really good at college basketball. Green was more limited, but I do think there's like some similarities there, and I'm taking Okoro but between those two. But part of me goes, all right, like if people are really like the people who are questioning Isaac Okoro and are like, you're never gonna be able to shoot it, if that's your stance, even if you think Isaac Okoro is an awesome, actually I think this is kind of your stance on Isaac Okoro, is you think that he's never gonna be able to shoot it, but he's gonna be an awesome defender and maybe give you a little bit off the dribble on offense.
I think
right?
He probably won't be able to shoot it. But it really good on defense. And if he can shoot it, then you have a guy who's
okay
getting paid $15 million a year.
Yep. So if that's your stance and you're sitting at like 10 in the draft and Okoro's still on the board, like why are you going to take him when 15 picks later you can take Green?
Great question. So I think it comes down to,
and I'm high on. I like Okoro because I believe a lot more of him as like a competitor. I think he was really underrated finisher, like getting the bucket, all those sort of things. But so many people seem to be like doing this thing where they're like, "All right, he can play defense, but he can't do anything else for shit." And like Green is pretty well balanced to me. Like he's gonna be able to shoot it, and I really liked what I saw from him defensively. I slide that up to a really like.
Really,
I don't know. He really competed, and I loved how he would get pissed off when the big screwed up the coverage.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Especially again, maybe it's the coaching lenses, but the body language part of it. Like he clearly cared about defense, and to me that matters. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to put that. That matters. So yes, I think he's an above average shooter, an above average defender, and a pretty good athlete. Pretty good size. He's not great at any of those. He's not going to be a great shooter. He's not going to be, he's not going to be Duncan Robinson. He's not going to be one of these guys that is, you know,
36% on 83 attempts.
But I would, that should have been 180 attempts. Like totally. He should have shot way more.
Like Sadiq Bey, who we're going to do next, shot 175.
Yes. And I think the thing that frustrated me was a lot of his threes kind of felt like they came on accident. Do you know what I mean? Like they got zoned a lot. Where it was kind of like he sort of stumbled into a three. He's like, oh, I'm open. I'm going to shoot it. Or offensive rebound. Zeke would get an offensive rebound and kick it to him. And then he'd be like, okay, I'm open. But it felt like they didn't
try. They didn't run anything.
They didn't try to get him threes.
It was so weird. I don't know who you watch first between Green and Achiuwa. But like Memphis was like everything too Precious. And then I'm like, can we like get Green like a look here?
It felt like Precious took more threes off the dribble, like forced threes than Josh Green.
There's this.
I don't know. It's just, I would have liked to see a guy who is like, I wanted just him to force. I wanted to watch more bad shots.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have had these conversations for years where so-and-so player who was drafted like 22nd were like, man, he didn't do any of this stuff in college.
Right.
You know? And now, that's the exception to the norm. But that happens sometimes. And part of me goes, if I'm like scanning through the guys that I know that I've watched in this maybe second half of the first round, of the ones I've watched, like Green is one that sticks out to me who I feel like we could be having that conversation again, like, where did this come from?
Right. The Kentucky comparison is good in that sense, where it was like, why did they rein him back so much?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the Kentucky guys we've talked about, Cat and AD.
Booker.
And Booker. Mm-hmm. And there's one more that were, and Bam. Yeah. We're like, why didn't they just let him do more. For him, and I'm not saying he's going to be on their levels, right, but I'm saying I just feel like watching him, there was another level he could have gotten to that they just, for whatever reason, were like, you're not going to get, we're not going to let you do it.
And I feel like I'm doing the same exact thing I did for Joshua with him. Like, but there's other, like, late first round prospects that we've talked about before. Call it like Trey Jones, who I like Trey Jones, but I don't feel like there's any chance, like, 3 years from now, we're like, whoa, so much more than we expected. Like, or.
Remember when you said he was a bad athlete and then the vertical? Can we talk about that?
We'll see what his actual vertical gets.
Dane is on the record saying,
oh my God,
you bad athlete. And then last week, the vertical numbers came out and Trey had a 40 inch vertical.
And I gladly tweeted them out. I shared it with everyone.
Yeah. Just want that to be.
No, that's fair. I've also pumped Trey as a guy who I would really think would be a great fit on the Wolves.
Yeah.
Next to D'Lo. Why are we talking about Trey?
Oh, we're not talking about him today?
He's not on the schedule. Oh, no, Bay. We're going to do Sadiq Bay. Sadiq Bay is a sophomore coming out of Villanova, turned 21 in April. So really
also old.
21?
No, for a sophomore?
No.
Think about when...
Turned 20. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Think about when you... When
so was he a redshirt guy? No, I don't think so.
No, he played...
Turned 21 in April. Yeah.
He's old.
He is old. 6'8" in shoes, 6'10", wingspan 216 pounds. Other players who like that. I don't know. Maybe I like all these lists, but this was interesting because it made me think that he could play the four in the NBA. Cam Johnson, Jake Layman.
I think Cam Johnson's been on the hype thing for almost everybody.
Maybe this is a comment. Maybe this is what you listen to. Cam Johnson, Jake Layman, Perry Ellis, Taurean Prince, Doug McDermott, Andre Roberson, Chris Middleton, Tobias Harris, Luke Babbitt, Paul George.
Yeah.
And I'd started watching his film, and then I went and did this stuff, and I'm watching him playing. For people obviously who haven't watched Sadiq Bey, he's this weird like point forward kind of guy.
Yeah.
Where he's got this like maybe kind of looks like he's the team's small four, but he's bigger than everyone else out there. But he's like pretty clearly running like the point, and then also like posts up a lot. And I'm just kind of like, what the hell does this like look like in the NBA? It really reminded me of like Evan Turner, like at Ohio State. And then also like when he was in Philly or whatever, like I'm like, this all seems awkward. But then I looked at those guys that he's similar in size to, and I'm like, those are like 3.5 fours. Like maybe it won't be awkward for him to be kind of this dude who's posting people up a little bit or using his size a lot if he is kind of playing the four. And I think a lot of those guys can play the four.
Yeah. I think he's interesting because I looked up his high school. Like, I just want to know like where he came from, and his final five schools were Villanova. That's a big time school. Davidson, Elon, and Georgetown. So it was kind of like he was a three-star recruit. I don't even know if he was in the top 150. Like, so he is kind of came out of nowhere, had a decent freshman year, but then blew up as a sophomore.
He kind of plays like that, man, where it's like he plays like a guy who figured out how to play smarter than everyone else.
And one of my notes I had on him is the second thing I wrote was just he'd be really fun to play with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Makes the right play, is a really good shooter, like plays really hard on defense. Like the things you want, like if you're playing pickup basketball at LA Fitness and like just little attributes that you want from a random guy, like those, like he just strikes me as a guy, and maybe this means nothing as far as an NBA prospect, but like he'd be really fun to play with.
I think
makes the extra pass, shoots it well, and competes on defense.
I totally agree with it. The one thing that I think about with that is for him to do those stuff, was pretty ball dominant. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And so who's the guy who's not fun to play with? Right. Like
you
the ball.
Where do you want me to start?
I don't know. I question a little bit with Bay, who, you know, just in general, I love him. I really like, but there are these couple of like legit holes, I think, to be poked in him. And one of them is, all right, Villanova ran it through him a ton, and he doesn't really have a position, I'm sure, of in the NBA.
You don't think so?
What do you think?
like
four?
What it
three?
Four?
That's were you listening to me talk? Yeah.
Yeah, I was, but he's not a four.
Well, what is he gonna play?
Just a wing. He's gonna play what's Isaac Okoro gonna play?
Yeah, wing. Yeah, well, maybe I don't know. It's also weird now. I get that
it's also I think it's so overrated. Unless it's a center. I think there's a center that's probably who can, I don't care if you're a 2, 3, or 4. I just
yeah.
I don't think he's a four.
I think he could play four. That's what I'm saying.
That's a good thing then if you think
I do too. I just struggle a little bit outside of his shooting. When he starts dribbling it, I wonder where that fits into an NBA team. But what he does that will fit into an NBA team immediately and be awesome is he's a super dynamic three-point shooter. He doesn't need like any time. He has excellent feet. He has a quick release.
It's the quickest release in the draft.
And he shot 175 of them and made 45% of them. Like, and he made 37% the year before on like 130 of them. So he shot 300 threes in college and made 40% of them, over 40%.
Do you think I'm crazy to say that he is one of the three safest players? Like,
no.
Is there a scenario where he's not getting minutes on an NBA team?
No.
Or he's going to play. Like, he's going to be in a rotation.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Right?
Right, yeah. No, I think so. And I just wonder exactly what that role is. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Are you just the shooter guy? And defender? Like, is it, again, just the classic 3-and-D? Because that's... Josh Green just did 3-and-D stuff at college. Sadiq Bey did a whole hell of a lot of stuff in college.
Right.
Which,
what did you think about him, like, off the dribble?
He did a really good job of using his body to create space. I thought he, like, used his left elbow as, like, the shield to, like, all he could get to the nail and pull up from 15 feet whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
And he
wasn't fast. He wasn't explosive. He was just, I'm going to get to my spot and I'm going to get my shot off.
When we did the big board thing, and I think I squeezed him in at 14 at the like back end of mine.
And that was before we'd ever really watched him, right?
Yeah. I'd watched some of it for that. And
it was more of a, there's nobody else.
That was, we were at that point. He oddly reminds me of Joe Ingles a little bit. Who like doesn't have like this like athleticism to take you off the dribble, but he's super big, so he can play upright, but he can also like use his body to distance the defender from where he's dribbling.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of that in Sadiq Bey. And then plus Joe Ingles is like has been one of the better, you know, catch and shoot 3-point shooters in the NBA over the past 5 years.
I don't hate that comparison.
Let me read
some stuff to you real quick.
Read
synergy breakdown, spot up shooting, excellent. Excellent's the best you can get. Okay. Spot up, excellent. Pick and roll ball handler, excellent. Transition, excellent. ISO, average, which I actually agree with because he's not that explosive. He's not that, he's not going to beat you one on one. Post up is excellent. Handoff is good. Offense rebound is excellent. Off a screen is excellent. His cutting is excellent. And that's it. Which I think is like,
I'm looking at that too. Yeah.
I thought he was an awesome cutter. I think when I watched both offensively and defensively, where he struggled was he wasn't that fast or explosive. On defense, he would get beat just because the guy is,
would just kind of run by him.
Just kind of a better athlete, quicker, faster, whatever. Offensively, he just, like when he was spotting up, he was awesome. But when he tried to make plays, and try to go to the hole, like go to the rim.
Yeah.
I just feel like he could never really get to the rim because guys, he's really not that quick or athletic.
Mm-hmm. Which to me is like, from everything I can gather from what I've read or listened to is like, nobody doesn't like Sadiq Bey. Like nobody doesn't like Sadiq Bey. They're like, you know, the analytic people love it. Like everything we just read off there or, people just look at three-point shooting, love it. You look at you watch him play, you're like, man, this is a guy who can initiate offense and he can defend at the college level. It's like, check, 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 check. These are all the things that people like. But there is an element to Sadiq Bey, and I think it's worth us highlighting and lingering on that for a while, that like this isn't a great athlete, and a lot of the stuff he does is funky. And a lot of times I think we've seen with players who have that vibe to them, the funky stuff often doesn't translate.
Right.
Now, does that – the thing I think with Bay and why I will still have him in the first half of my first round, probably in the lottery or very close to it, is that even if you remove that funky stuff, I still think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
Because he can – because he's still – I would be shocked if he isn't going to be a good three-point shooter.
I'm with you.
And then defensively, like, that's where I might have, like, some more concerns. Like, I saw him struggle to keep up with some dudes on the wing at the college level.
Yeah, for defensively. Sure. And that's the same thing's going to happen in the NBA.
And I think that's part of the reason why.
Yeah.
If you talk about the four thing, if he's guarding bigger guys, like, there's less of
yeah.
that.
If he was a step faster – he probably would have been a higher ranked high school kid.
Well, I think he'd probably be a top five pick in this
for
draft.
Sure. So I think that to me, if that's your biggest knock is you're half a step slow, I'll take my chances. Do you know what I mean? I also
yeah, but what's the one thing you know you can't develop? You can't get that step,
which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like his story. I like guys who weren't recruited that highly like who. Figured it out, and now he's really good at Villanova, and he might not figure it out right away in the NBA, but by year three or four, like, when you have a proven history of, like, being an underdog mm-hmm. and figuring it out, I tend to, I don't know, buy right. stock in that. And I think he's going to do the same thing.
I will understand if other teams take bigger swings over him.
Sure.
Like,
if you're looking for a home run, you're not going to take Sadiq.
Or even like a ground rule double. Like,
right.
I would understand somebody taking like Isaac Okoro. I think will get yeah. drafted ahead of him. And that's because where Sadiq Bey is never going to get that extra step. There is a world in which Isaac Okoro is like a five tool player and can actually right. shoot it. Like that possibility exists out there.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, trying to think of some of these other guys too, like that have the physical profile. That's where the physical profile guys go. And it's a lot of time when we have busts who are like, oh my God, that guy went eight. Well, yeah, it's because they never developed the shot or they never developed a feel off the pick and roll, whatever. Like Sadiq Bey has all those things. He's got the shot. He's got the feel.
Right.
He's got pretty good size.
So I think stop right there. And I think, you know how every draft there's like that one guy who goes like seventh when you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I thought he was going to go 16th. I think it could be Sadiq Bey.
Yeah.
You know, where on right. draft night, it's like, wait, he went seventh? I thought he wasn't even going to be in the lottery. I think Sadiq Bey could be that guy from what those three bullet points that you just mentioned.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I also just in general think this draft is, we're going to have a lot of those. We're going to be like, whoa.
You like this draft deep down.
No. We're going to have a lot of like, what the hell? We thought this guy was supposed to go 20th and he went 9th.
Well, nobody knows. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me to be even more that way than.
Do you have any intel on the Wolves taking who they're taking number one?
I think they're trying to trade the pick.
Yeah.
And if I really do think it is pretty simple. Like if they can get a good package back for it, like that would be their preference. And if not, they're not going to pass on the opportunity to take a big swing on a Ball or Wiseman or Edwards.
Right.
I think it's
those three.
I don't know. I mean,
that's sad.
No, it's not. That would be, well, if you're them, you don't take Vassell, then you for sure trade back, even if you just get back to five and you get pick up something, you know. Like, I don't think anybody else is going to take Vassell one.
I've said that. I've said, you're not going to.
No, yeah.
But you could.
What I do want to tell people, and because, you know, now it's been like 6 months since I did a podcast on Anthony Edwards, is that Will and I are going to watch all the Anthony Edwards film and the little available of James Wiseman. And I'm going to try and get some high school stuff on James Wiseman. I think that's possible.
Yeah.
And we'll take a look. We'll take a look at that. So that will be the next podcast, even though I guess technically I've done that before. Will and I have never done Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman together. So we'll have that. Yeah, we'll have that for the next episode. Thanks again for doing this, Will. And yeah. I don't know. We only got, what is it? Today's, we're recording this Wednesday, October 21st. So 24
Draft's
weeks.
Drafts
4 weeks from today.
18th.
Yeah.
We got to do one before the, like on the 17th or something.
Yeah. I think there's plenty of room to, well, first, I think there's a few more guys.
Yeah.
I watched Pokuševski. You couldn't get his film, so we'll do another one of these three ones too. But
yeah.
But I think the most relevant players are Anthony Edwards, and you haven't really talked about Anthony Edwards other than the fact that on your big board, I think you had him sixth.
Yeah.
You're, that's relatively low. And I have him. I'm interested to go back and rewatch.
You know what I mean?
Like, and adjust. But as I sit here right now today, I have, I think it's hard. I've really moved to a like ball 1A, Edwards 1B, Wiseman 1C, but like teetering on Wiseman as I just like think about it more and more over Edwards, but really those three there. And if it's the Timberwolves or if it's the Hornets or whatever, like some of those teams are gonna have to make those, make those decisions. Yeah. And like one of those three guys is probably gonna suck.
Right.
Like that's just how it works. And that's like your job rides on that or the next 5-10 years of your
friends. Crazy.
It is. So we'll do Edwards and Wiseman next week and I'll have some other things coming up soon too. Until then, I'm Dane. That's Will at WDeberg14 on Twitter. See you next week. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.